Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the angels sang glory to God in the highest on a night years ago to praise the birth of the baby of Mary. For her child is the Christ child, the Son of God. Now this night, as we gather to sing praises and glory to heaven in the highest, I ask that our hearts receive the Savior, Christ the Lord. Each one, everyone here, be forever changed by your grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin and invite you to begin with memories. Bring back the memories, and I'd like you to remember through the years the different gifts that were given to you. Were you opening them on Christmas Eve, as some families do, or as other families, you have to wait till Christmas morning? And then when you get married, when one's a Christmas Eve family, the other's a Christmas morning family, you got to figure it out. But do you remember the presents you had opening when you're a little child and they were given to you? Remember that childhood memory as you were before that Christmas tree, and how many of you searched around the tree looking for your name tag, and when you found your name tag, had to pick it up and shake it and try to figure out what it was? And did you tell your siblings, hey, that one's for me, haha. You know how kids do those different things. Do you remember the joy of opening those gifts? Did you receive what your heart longed for when you were a child? Did you get that bicycle? Did you get that Barbie dream house? Did you receive a G.I. Joe or Star Wars action figure? Model train? What was it that you received? And then as you grew in years, recall back and notice the shift that began to happen from receiving the presents to searching out and buying that special gift for another. Remember the first presents you set under the Christmas tree for your fiancé, perhaps, or that first Christmas that you shared as husband and wife for the first time. Maybe the tree was small and the presents were meager, yet you were together. Perhaps you were standing under the mistletoe. Well, that's all that mattered, really. You're together. And as the years passed by and another stocking was hung by the chimney with care, as each new child arrived in the family to experience their first Christmas. And as those childs grew in years, how you as a mom or as a dad hunted for that Christmas present, notice how the change happened inside of you. Do you remember, or do I dare ask, did you participate in the chaos of the Cabbage Patch dolls when they first came out? Some of you did. Or how about the chaos of Tickle Me Elmo and the different things? You just had to find that gift for your little one. I remember the shift in my own life as a daddy and buying baby toys or making stuffed teddy bears and recalling those Christmases when Heather's mom, as a first-time grandmother, acted like, well, a first-time grandmother and went overboard with Christmas presents, overloading the child who was just not even a year old and whose ability to remember those moments were rather limited, but wanting to give. To share, children, babies. All of us here at one time were a baby. We all began as babies. Each one of us arrived into this world from the womb and were born a baby. We have this in common. And there was a time we have this in common with each other. There was a time when you and I were totally dependent upon another person. Totally dependent on being cared for, to be fed and bathed and kept warm and kept clean and protected. I remember watching my wife Heather grow in size and going with her to the appointments and keeping track of the baby's progress inside her. And as Heather's tummy grew, there came those moments, that quickening. You know that word from the past, the quickening? We don't use that word as often anymore. When the child in the womb is first felt. Excitement for me, excitement and other feelings for Heather, because I seem to recall, ooh, or ouch, or various words like that along the way. I remember the Times watching too. That's a foot. Or that's an elbow. And you know that definite, that's a fist. And every once in a while, that must be the rear end, I think. It's amazement watching that. It's a real child coming. Those same moments of excitement and oohs and ouches were there for our second child. And I was fascinated watching the second time around as much. I remember stories my parents would tell of my younger brother's birth. We lived in Page Manor at that time down at Wright Pat. And back then, my mom was past due. So my dad convinces my mom to get into the sidecar. So he'd take her on a bouncy ride around the area. And if I recall correctly, my dad said they rode the back roads around Fairborn, you know, where the Cargill plant used to be. I don't know if the silos for the Cargill plant are still standing. You can see them on Highway 675. But my dad on his BMW with the sidecar next to it, my mom bouncing around. You want to know something? He intentionally went over the railroad tracks. It worked. My younger brother arrived very soon, and you know what happened on the same day as my older brother's birthday? My younger brother and older brother are exactly 7 years apart to the day. And by the way, my younger brother, he loves to ride motorcycles too. I wonder why. I mean, imagine, instead of being in a sidecar, do you see Mary, very pregnant, sitting side saddle style on a donkey and perhaps bouncy as a motorcycle sidecar? And can you see Mary walking alongside the donkey, trying to get comfortable as they traveled to Bethlehem? The trip, 100 miles or so, be 8, 10, or even more days of walking and riding and trying to get comfortable along the way. Not an easy journey to take when you're nearly ready to give birth. Those oohs and ouches most likely crossed her lips too, as the baby moved in a womb, or as the donkey gave a lurch walking along the road. This is real. A child will be born. Need a place to give birth. Mary's child was carried in the womb and born just as every other human being. God entered human life just like every other human being, growing in the womb, crossing that quickening moment when Mary first felt the growing child in her. No ultrasounds to verify the child would be a boy, but they had the promise. The angels foretold would be a boy. She will have a son. Wait and see. A child that the scriptures declares in the fulfillment of scriptures of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, but more specifically and more powerfully, with us, God. That's amazing. This child with us is God. This is real. It actually happened. This prophecy of Isaiah came to be. Though there's no way for you and I to explain nor to really comprehend, when God, the eternal creator, entered into the creation as a human, took on flesh and bone as a child, somehow by the power of the Holy Spirit, conceived in the womb of Mary. Like it says in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary knew her status. Joseph was assured by an angelic visit to him. The child conceived and growing in the womb, just growing like any other child, was conceived by the power of God. Can you imagine hearing Joseph as Mary grew larger? That's a foot! Or that's a fist! That's an elbow! Or that's the rear end! As any other child grows, and perhaps you've said yourself watching a child move around in the womb. That was taking place in Mary's room. The child was growing. And in the back of the mind were those words of the angel from Matthew chapter 1. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. That's Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That angelic visitation is just too extraordinary to forget. And Mary, too, cherishing the words spoken to her from another angelic visitation recorded in Luke chapter 1. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Again, words spoken by an angelic messenger, never to be forgotten. Find a place to stay. There's no room in the inn. Mary cries out, "Joseph, the child's coming. Please find us a place." A manger will have to do. At least it's off the street and has some privacy. Settling in, and soon the son is born. The child is a boy, a son, just as foretold. His name will be Jesus. If you had meandered into that manger those years ago, you would have seen a father, a mother who had just given birth, and a baby boy. Nothing unusual would stand out. You'd see a baby swaddled in clothes, mother resting, exhausted from giving birth, the father tending to the needs of his wife or the needs of the baby, and very likely there would have been a midwife there overseeing it all, giving commands as needed. To all eyes, an ordinary birth of a boy. Meanwhile, unbeknownst to you, on the outskirts of town, in the hills of Bethlehem, as the shepherds kept watch over their flocks that night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and it shone in such suddenness that terror overtook them. And the shepherds quaked. And we hear from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Just as suddenly, the sky was filled with the heavenly host, praising God. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests." And just as suddenly, all was gone. You look up and you simply just saw the stars that were there. "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place the Lord has told us about," the shepherds said to each other. Off they go to find the baby swaddled and lying in a manger. The shepherds coming into town at an strange time for them to come into the town. They started to cause a stir in the town. And as this group wanders through the alleys and byways, perhaps peeking into a window and ask, "Where's the baby born?" Disturbing the whole town as they were searching. They were searching up and down. They were searching down the cartways. And they kept looking, maybe knocking on some doors, poking their heads in other windows. "Where's the baby?" They were looking for what the angel of the Lord had told them, to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And soon the sound, so shuffling, of shuffling feet and the people talking becomes more discernible to the father and a mother and more than likely the midwife in the manger. The noise is getting louder. "Where's the baby? Who is the Savior?" Now, can you just picture if there's a midwife there, what she would be saying? Shh, don't come in here, you stinky, smelly, dirty. But Joseph welcomes them. He welcomes them as he hears about the angelic visit to the shepherds. He trusts their words, for he too had an angelic visit. having seen and experienced the sign of the angel's words, Luke chapter 2, verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That word, this will be a sign. That word sign, the root in Greek is semion. So to hear that word sign, semion, which means given especially to authenticate, corroborate, and confirm. What this means is the sign given to the shepherds when they found that sign, when the shepherds found the sign, which is the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, they found the sign just as the angel said they would find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This is the sign. And with the sign before their eyes, the shepherds know, and you and I can know, the shepherds know the words declared by the angel were authenticated. They were confirmed and corroborated. The baby, the sign is fulfilled, and the words about the baby are fulfilled. This baby is the Savior. This baby is Christ the Lord. Christ is Greek for the word anointed. In Hebrew, the word anointed is Messiah. This baby is the Messiah. And you're to give him the name Jesus. The shepherds saw the baby boy in Bethlehem, confirming the message the angel gave. Eternal implications for all time and all places, for all people, for you and me in this message. Eternal implications, because that little baby boy, born just like you and me, fully human, born, that baby boy is the Savior, the Christ. God became human to save us from our sins. Just as the angel said to Joseph, recorded in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, written 700 years earlier. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. What does it mean for you and I this night? The shepherds saw the baby boy in Bethlehem, just as the angel said. The sign was fulfilled. And what that means is the words the angel said about the child are also fulfilled. Today in the city of David, a child has been born, a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. This is real. It seems extraordinary because it is, but it's real. God became flesh, born into this life, just like you and I were born. But yet in the wonders of God, fully God, fully human, our Savior. So this night is extraordinary because we recall that time that God stepped into creation and became one of us to redeem and save. That's the greatest gift that you can give on Christmas, is to lead another to know Christ as Savior and Lord. You can fill the space underneath your Christmas tree with presents for the kids and grandkids and all that. You can dote over them. But if you don't give them Christ, why do you even have a Christ tree in your house? Give them Christ, because that's the greatest gift you can give, because it will change their heart, their life forever. just as Christ was born to save. See that your loved ones know Christ and are saved also. To believe Jesus is the Christ. The shepherd saw the baby boy in fulfillment. The sign was fulfilled, which means the words of the angels are true, which means the words of Scripture are true. That baby is the Savior. That baby is Christ, who would die on a cross for me, for you, for all sins. That's the meaning of this night. A Savior has been born. Amen.